So I thought today we would talk something about something that's related to not just this week's Parsha, but the last week's Parsha and most of Sefer Vayikra, the Indian of Karbanos and what their purpose is, how we relate to them and the like. I want to start with a Ha'ara I heard last Shabbos, actually, from my Rabbi Ravan Lapiansky, who happened to be here in Passaic. And I'm going to share with you an insight he had and then try to develop it and take it in a slightly different direction. So the Rambam calls the halachos, in which he discusses the dinim of the mikdash and building the base of mikdash, halachos base of achigra. And that's a little bit surprising that he would call it Hochos Beis HaBechira, because if you look, for example, at source number one, which is the Koteret, how he defines the mitzvah. So the mitzvah is Livnos Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't say Livnos Beis HaBechira. And throughout the halachos, he always calls it Mikdash. In Halacha Gimel, in source two, Kevan Shenivna Mikdash, in Halacha Vav, the Osen Mikdash Kelim. It's always referred to as the Mikdash. He never seems to refer to it as the Beis HaBechira. So why is it called Hilchos Beis HaBechira? And moreover, when we look at the pasuk that the Rambam cites, that's the source of the mitzvah. So he says the source is Vasuli Mikdash in Halacha Aleph. So the question is, why does he call it Hilchos Beis HaBechira if it's really all about the Mikdash? He should call it Hilchos Beis HaMikdash or Hilchos Binyan Beis HaMikdash or something like that. That's the question. So I think clearly the answer is that it must be the case that there's something about the term Beis HaBechira which tells us about the nature of the Mikdash. The name has to be conveying something very fundamental. What is that? Now, when we look, though it's true that the Pasuk of last week's Parsha about the mitzvah uses the phrase Da'asuli Mikdash, but when we look at the general description of the Torah, especially with respect to the Makom, or maybe exclusively with respect to the Makom, it's always about Bechira. So take a look at source number three, and this is not even a complete list, right? Al Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem, B'Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem, B'Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo. Amakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Lasum Shema Sham. Vas Al Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem, B'Makom Asher Yivchar Lashaken Shema Sham. Yerchak Mimcha Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Lasum Shema Sham. Al Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo. Right? So the Torah consistently uses the phrase Bechira to refer to the Makom HaMikdash. So what does that mean? What is the nature of Bechira? Why is Bechira? Now, we talked a lot about Bechira Yisrael, and actually I think that's going to be very helpful. We're going to turn back to the two sugyas that we've done. We've learned the sugya of Bechira Yisrael, we've learned the sugya of Tamei Mitzvos, and I think looking back at those two sugyos, we'll be able to have a mahalik over here. It's interesting, one more pasuk that you have a lashon of Bechira is a source number five from Tehillim. Ki bachar Hashem b'tzion, iva l'mo shavlo. So what is that pasuk telling us? Hashem was bocher b'tzion, and iva. What's iva mean? Iva l'mo shavlo. What's the lashon of iva? So iva is a lashon of taiva. It's a lashon of taiva. It's interesting. We usually think of taiva as a bad word, right? We should avoid taiva. Taiva is not a positive thing. Learn Musar, so to overcome your taiva. But the emes is that you see that taiva is something positive. In fact, taiva in this context is used with reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even in the Rambam, you have taiva. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, he talks about Mis'ave Taiva Gedola Leides Hashem, right? So Taiva, for the right things and in the right context, is a very positive thing. It's something that we need to have. We're not supposed to live a life devoid of Taiva. Taiva is a powerful emotion that has to be channeled in the right way. But be'etzem taiva is something good. And so remarkably, this pasuk says that the bechira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for Tzion, and that's a reflection of his taiva for Tzion. Zos menuchas yade'ad, po eshev, ki ivisiha, I will dwell here, because I have a taiva, ki ivisiha. So what does this mean? What do we mean when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a taiva for Tzion? So let's actually go back to what we talked about when we learned about Bechiras Yisrael and the Maral, which is source number 8, which we spend time on. We're not going to reread the Maral, but I want to use his template, his description and definition of what Bechira means to try to understand what Bechira means over here. So the Maral point,
is all of this from Rav Lopiansky or we've moved on?
The
Ha'ara is from
him. The way he learned the Maral is from him. And then, more or less, we'll say like this. The first, I'll tell you when I move on from what he said, though. I'm adding some nekudos, but that's him, the point is his. Until I tell you when.
Okay, thanks.
One has to be careful about giving proper attribution, but not overly attributing. I don't know if you would if you would agree. So we saw this Maral. So the Maral basically points out, why is it? He asked the question, why is it that when it comes to the Bechira of Noach, so the Torah does tell us the reason why he was chosen. And when it comes to the Bechira of Avram Avinu, the reason is omitted. And the Maral told us in source 8 that that's because the Bechir of Avram Avinu was something that went beyond reason. It wasn't limited by reason. And he compared it to Ava Tluya B'davar versus Ava She'ena Tluya B'davar. Ava, that is Tluya B'davar, is Ava that is dependent on a reason, limited to the reason, and therefore naturally Bato HaDavar, Bato HaAva. So if the reason is gone, then the love would be gone. The Bechir of Avram Avinu wasn't Tluya B'davar, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that he's going to make with him a bris olam, an eternal covenant, meaning to say no matter what happens and under all circumstances, the love will continue. Now, that was possible because it's Eina Tluya B'davar. Anytime it's Tluya B'davar, then it would be limited. So, how are we meant to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't choose us for a reason? Sometimes, if I don't do something for a reason, it's because it's random. Obviously, that's not what we mean over here. That's not a reflection of chachma. That's a reflection of silliness to make choices randomly without a reason. So what we mean over here when we say that this was a bechira that was not tali in reason is we're saying that it reflects HaKadosh Baruch Hu's core identity. And it's not based off of a practical reason. Now, let's try to understand that a little better. First of all, when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's identity or essence or the like, we don't mean his true essence. That's something that we can't relate to. That's something that's totally beyond us. We can only talk about his actions. We can only describe him and understand him insofar as the way in which he relates to us. But nevertheless, we have to try to understand him based off of the way in which he relates to us. So if I do something, so you could ask me, why did I do it? And maybe I'll give you a reason. I'll give you a practical reason. You say, okay, but why did you do that? If you keep on asking why, so you're going to come to a person's core identity. Why did I do that? Just that's who I am. That's the way I'm wired. That's my essence. That reflects my true self. We're all different. And therefore, the different decisions that we make, though we might make decisions based off of practical reasons, but we get back to the ultimate cause for things. So there are certain choices we make that we can't really say, why did I choose this way or that way? That's just the way I am. That reflects my core identity. That's the way I'm wired. And that is the usage. That's what we mean when we say Bechira. Bechira, perhaps, as contrasted with another similar word, like Borer. Bechira is something that goes beyond reason. And if it goes beyond reason, it's because it's a reflection of of the essence. It's a reflection of the core identity. It's something, so when two people love each other, if it's ava tluya bedavar, so that means the love is rooted in a reason, and that's it. And so memela batla davar, batla ava. When it's ava she'ena tluya bedavar, so it doesn't mean it's random. It means it stems from the person's essential self. And therefore, just like that essential self is unchanging, so the love is unchanging. It can't end because it's a reflection of something deeper, something that goes beyond reason. So when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bocher Banu, and that's also perhaps some degree what the Rambam says in the source number 9 from the Geras Teiman, that it's not because of a reason, it's because of Chesed, it's because of Ava. So that's what we mean when we talk about Bechira. So now going back to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash is a reflection of Bechira HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's called the Beis HaBechira. Why does the Rambam use the term Beis HaBechira? Because at its essence, the Beis HaBechira is a makom where HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed Bechira. That's the idea of Iva L'Moshe flow. Why? Why? He has a taiva for it. Can we explain a taiva of this sort? No. It's a bechira without a reason, without limited reason, without not limited by reason, because it reflects who he is and how he relates to us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bechira b'klal Yisrael was a reflection of a bechira that goes beyond reason. Why? Habocher es am Yisrael bi'ahava. Asher bachar banu mikol amim. Why? Be'ava. It's a reflection of ava. It's a reflection of chesed. It's not a reason. It's a reflection of his identity. That's what Bechir of Klal Yisrael is, and that's what the Bechir of the Makom HaMikdash is. The reason why, I mean, you know, one reason why he keeps on saying Makom HaShev HaShem is because the place had not yet been revealed, but it still could have said Uvas Al HaMikdash. Why always Makom HaShev HaShem? Because the Bechir of Hashem, it uses that term to express that this was an act of Bechira. And therefore is not something that should be subject to reasons. How do we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bechir in Am Yisrael? Through choosing them, through choosing the Mikdash. The Mikdash, if we wanted to see a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bechira, we would go to the Mikdash. That's what the Mikdash was. Oh. Ad Kan, mostly from Ravaran. So I think we could add to that now and say that that's klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? How it is, it's a, the Mikdash is a Bechir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Mikdash. I think that the same thing is true when it comes to our relationship to the Mikdash. How should we look at the Mikdash? And how especially should we look at Avodas HaKarbanos? The answer is that the Mikdash and Avodas HaKarbanos are a manifestation and a reflection of our Bechira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we take a look at the descriptions of how we are supposed to look at the Mikdash, so we always see them described, at least the positive ones. We'll see the negative ones as well, and that's going to be very important. But the positive ones are always a reflection of this greatest desire, just like we explained that the Mikdash Kaviyachol is a manifestation of Ratzon Hashem for us. So the Mikdash for us is a reflection of our Ratzon, our Taiva, our Cheshek for our Kadosh Baruch Hu. As we said before, you know, we oftentimes think of these words in a negative context, but really, and this is so important to realize in Avodas Hashem, that we're supposed to be on fire. We're supposed to have passion and love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's so many words for the word yearn in Lashon HaKodesh. Kisufin, Gaguin, Ratzon, Sheifa, Kavel, Taiva, Chemda, Cheshek, Bakasha, Chuka. These are all the words that are used to reflect our relationship for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and especially the manifestation of that in the Makom HaMikdash. Just take a look at a couple of them. In number 10, Ka'ayil tarog alafike mayim, kein nafshi tarog elecha alokim, tzama nafshi lalokim lakalchai, masai ov avo ve'ra'e, Pnei Elokim, right? So David HaMelech here is expressing his longing to come to the Mikdash, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to express his ratzon, his cheshek, his taiva, his ava. He's like the isle that longs for water, that's so can't, that crying for water, so my neshama cries for you, right? Same thing in the next pasuk. My yedidus mishkenosach Hashem tzvakos nichsefa v'gam kal sanashi l'chatzos Hashem. What do I have for the Beis HaMikdash? Kisufin, desire, yearning, burning passion. Libi uvsari yiranenu al kelchai. So that is what the Mikdash is. The Mikdash is the opportunity, the place in which we can express our ratzon for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the avod of Karbanos. And here we have to explain something very fundamental. Take a look at the pasuk from Parshas Kedoshim, source 13. B'chis tizbechu zevach shlamim l'Hashem, l'rtzonchem tizbechuhu. So what exactly is meant by l'rtzonchem? The Ramban, in fact, points out it's an interesting lashon because really it's supposed to be l'shma. Well, what's l'rtzonchem mean? So the Gemara explains, source 15, V'shema tomar l'achil hotzarech. Maybe you'll think when you bring a karban, so it's, why are we bringing this karban? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hungry, right? And although that's obviously absurd, indeed, the Torah refers to karbanos as lechem, right? Karbani lachmi li'ishai. So maybe a person would think that's what a karban is. Talmud lomar im erav lo omer lach. Kili tevel mloav v'nemar kili kol chay so yar beimos behare alef yadati ki of harim viziz shadai madi ha'uchel basari birim v'dam atudim eshte. So right, obviously Hashem says, of course I don't need your meat, I don't need your blood, your wine. So what is the point of a karban? Lo amarti zivchu kedei shetomar aser ritzono v'yaser ritzoni. A karban, what should our attitude not be, right? And that's what this pasuk is telling us. Your attitude karban to karbanos should not be, I'll scratch your back so that you'll scratch my back. I'll give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give to me, right? And the Ramban in source 14 points out that this is such an important idea because, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Jewish people that don't do Avodah Zarah anymore. So they were steeped in idolatry. They were in Egypt. Hashem says, no, don't do Avodah Zarah. So what naturally could happen is that even if we're going to listen and we stop doing Avodah Zarah, but we're going to serve God in the same way as we served Avodah Zarah. We'll just simply transfer that Avodah from the pantheon of gods that we would have served when we were in Egypt to service of God, right? That's what we would think. And that's a great danger. So how did Ovdei Avodah Zarah serve their gods? So if you read anything about Avodah Zarah, you could read in Greek mythology. So it was exactly that approach. It was sort of, I'll scratch your back, you'll scratch my back. If I give the gods what they want, I'll give them karbanos and food and drink, and then they'll scratch my back. Then everything in my life will be great, and I'll get prosperity and success and the like. And if I don't scratch their back, so then they'll punish me, and the gods will be angry at me, and I'll be harmed. So what could a person have done? A person could have done, turned Avodas Hashem into that same thing, right? Like the Gemara says over here, Asa Ritzono, Yasa Ritzoni, I'll scratch God's back, I'll give him the karbanos, I'll give him the meat and the wine and the blood, and he'll give me what I need. So Shelo Tomar, that's what this pasuk is saying. Don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. And this is especially an important message, as the Ramban points out, when it comes to karbanos, because when it comes to karbanos, a person can, and maybe even naturally, would think that's the idea of a karban, right? We're giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm giving a gift, I'm giving him a tip. So, says the Pasuk, Lo lirtzoni atem zolchem, ela lirtzonchem atem zolchem. Shenemar lirtzonchem tizbechu. That's not the pshat in karbanos. Karbanos are not about that. So what are karbanos about? So let's take a look. Let's skip ahead a little bit, and then we'll go back to these makoros that we're skipping, because I think it'll help us understand them. Take a look at source 21, of Tzadok. So this is a very powerful piece from Tzidkas HaTzadik on the nature of korbanos, and specifically tefillah. We know that tefillah is keneged korbanos. And the question is, how is it keneged korbanos? It's not obvious how it's keneged korbanos. Tefillah is, korbanos is about blood, it's about meat, it's about avoda, doing specific actions in a prescribed manner, in a specific place. It actually doesn't seem to be similar to tefillah at all. Of course, certain tefillos were keneged, the korbanos, in a technical sense. The shacharis is keneged tamid shel shachar. But in what way is avodas ha-korbanos similar to tefillah? In what way is tefillah a replacement for avodas ha-korbanos? What do we mean when we say that? Why is it that they're both called avoda? Tefillah is avoda shebelev, karbanos is avoda samikdash. What way are they the same? So let's look at where Reb Tzadok says. B'tefillah, hu ha'ikar ha'cheshek b'haratzon lehispalal u'leschanein. What is the ikar point of tefillah? So obviously, the point, the avoda satefillah, is not about telling Hashem what we need. Hashem knows what we need. We don't need to tell him. He's going to give us what's best for us. So that is not the purpose of tefillah, to let him know what we need. So then what is the goal of tefillah? What is the point? The answer is, the ikar is the cheshek and the ratzon l'hispala l'schanin. Tefillah is an opportunity for us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to express our cheshek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our ratzon for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We talked about before the powerful cheshek, taiva, gagua that we're supposed to have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ka'ayel ta'ar v'lafike mayim. Ke'nashi ta'ar v'lach Hashem. We're supposed to have that desire. Mis'avet taiva gedola. As the Rambam says, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, tefillah is the way in which we express our ratzo, our cheshek, our bechira. Like we said before, if the mikdash is the place in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses his cheshek, taiva, bechira for us, so tefillah, and we'll see in a moment, avodas ha-karbanos, is a way in which we are able to express it for him. That's what tefillah is. Ukimosha amru, al tas tefillas chakeva, al rachamim v'chulei. That's what Chazal say when they say tefillah can't be a keva. It's interesting. We don't have that idea for other mitzvos. It doesn't say when you eat matzah, when you sit in a sukkah, that it shouldn't be keva. Why is it specifically for tefillah? Maybe it's true to some degree for other things as well, but why is it fundamental to tefillah? The answer is because keva is the opposite of what tefillah is supposed to be. Keva is a fixed obligation. Why do I do it? Because I need to do it, because I was asked to do it, because I was told to do it. That's what something being keva is. And the truth is, for other mitzvos, that's okay. Why do we do it? Because Hashem told us. Not so for tefillah, because tefillah, the whole inyan of tefillah, is the possibility to express our ratzon, our cheshek, our taiva, our bechira. So if it's keva, then that's missing the whole point. You've totally missed the boat. If I daven mincha because, oh my gosh, you know, 10 minutes till shkia, I have to daven. I need to daven. I have this obligation to daven. That's why I'm davening. That's the opposite of what tefillah is. That's not a reflection or a manifestation of cheshek or ratzon or the like. That's just a keva. The shehu atzma ma'amaram shili menachos, that's the same thing that Chazal told us, the Gemara at the end of Menachos that we just read. Source, what was that number? Number 15. That's the what Chazal say in Menachos, the Karbanos, shetfila dugmasam. Shelo tomar aseritzono v'chulei. It has to be a reflection of ratzon. You can't just do it because we need to. In other words, karbanos and tefillah are both avoda. Tefillah is connected to karbanos because be'etzem, it's the same yisod. What is karbanos? Karbanos are the opportunity for us to express our ratzon and our cheshek for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the chance to give him a gift, to show him our love, not because he needs it, but because he wants a relationship with us. Mashallah Mahadavar Dome. If there's someone who has everything that they need, they're totally self-sufficient. They are very skilled, they're very successful, they don't need money, they don't need help, they can do everything by themselves just right. So it's very hard to have a relationship with such a person because there's nothing you could give them because they need nothing. You can't help them. You can't give them something. They're perfect. They don't need anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the chance to give him something. That's the Mikdash. Not because he needs it. Li tevelim loa. He's not hungry. But he gives us a chance to show the ratzon, show the cheshek. And we do that with a karban. Well, let's give another mashal. When, if it's my wife's birthday, so I want to give her a present. Why do you give a present? To show your love. That's the Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishos that a husband is chayev to give to his wife to the extent that he could afford. Ohava kigufo, mechabdi yos migufa. And therefore he should be made to vla kafim emono. So you want to give a gift. Okay, great. So I'm going to give my wife a gift. So I know that last week a pot fell down and it broke. The handle of the pot broke. It's a very her favorite pot. And now it's missing the handle. So I'm going to give her a gift. I'm going to give her a new pot. So I'm not sure that would my wife is very nice. She'd be very grateful. But I don't think that's what she necessarily has in mind. Because when something is practical, so I also give something practical to, my super of my building. A gift is, if you give something that's practical, so it reflects that there's nothing more to your relationship than that which is practical, right? So if somebody cooks for me, and so they're my cook, and their pot breaks, so I'll give them a present. I'll give them a new pot. But when a relationship is something much more than just practical, like we said, it's Ava She'ina Tzuliya B'davar. So you dafka show that love, not by giving them something that they need, but something that they don't need. I think that's the pshat in flowers, by the way. I never quite understood why women like flowers. But what's the pshat? The pshat is there's nothing more useless than flowers. They don't accomplish anything. And not only that, but they don't even last. I mean, at least like if you got to, have decorations on the wall, so it's going to last. In a week, it's going to go in the garbage. So it's a total waste, right? So why is that, in a sense, the perfect gift? Because it shows you love them by getting them something that expresses nothing besides love, because there's no functional or practical utility whatsoever. It's a total waste. That's the entire purpose of the flowers. I think That's what we're saying here with karbanos. Everybody should think about getting flowers for Shabbos now. So karbanos are exactly that. It's not because Kadosh Baruch Hu needs anything. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need anything. But Hashem gives us the opportunity to express his cheshek and his ratzon. Our cheshek and our ratzon. And that's also what the Mikdash is for him. Like we said, it's Bechira, it's Ava. It's his taiva for us. That's what the Beis HaMikdash is for Kadosh Baruch Hu, as it were. And what is it for us? An opportunity for us to reciprocate, to show our taiva for him, our cheshek for him, our ratzon for him. The Rutzado continues. Dirotzolomar kiena karban mitzvah. Right? When the pasuk says letzom chemtiz b'chuhu, it's saying karban isn't a mitzvah. Kemoshen emar, the lotzi visim v'gomer, al divrei olav azavach, v'chein b'kam mekomos. Right? So take a look over here. This is source number 16. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Ko amar Hashem tzvakos elokei Yisrael. Kodesh is not interested in your karbanos anymore. They're stopping karbanos. If you want steak, just go to Lamare, eat steak. I don't want your karbanos. Kilo di barti asav osechem velo tzivisim biyom hoti osam me'eretz Mitzrayim al divrei olav hazavach. Because I didn't ask you to bring karbanos when you left Mitzrayim, when I gave you the Torah. I didn't ask you. There's no mitzvah of karbanos. So here, there's an obvious question, which is, what does it mean there's no mitzvah of karbanos? Of course there's a mitzvah of karbanos. There are dozens of mitzvahs relating to karbanos. What about all Sefer Vayikra? Fuma tetzaveh, vayakal b'kudeh. Of course he commanded us to bring karbanos. How could Yirmiyahu say that when you left Egypt, I never asked you to bring karbanos? So the Rambam explains, and we'll read in a second, it's source number 17, and he's about to cite this Rambam. The Rambam says, the Pshat is Hazeh, that I didn't ask you to bring korbanos, qua korbanos. What I wanted from you is a relationship, right? As actually the pasuk continues, kiim esadavar zetzi v'siaschem leimor shimu b'koli v'yisim lachem leelokim v'atemti li la'am. Right? That's what I wanted. I wanted a relationship. I wanted you to express your cheshek, your ava, your ratzon to me. I expressed it to you. That's what I wanted. Karbanos aren't a mitzvah. If you look at karbanos as a mitzvah, you're doing them because they're an obligation. So then you've missed the point of what a karban is. Because what is a karban? It's the cheshek, the raton, l'spala, l'schane. That's tefila and karbanos are the same thing. L'rtzon chem tizbechuhu. In other words, it's not, that's what he says here, it's not a mitzvah. Now you'll tell me, okay, that makes sense. That karbanos nedava aren't a mitzvah, but karbanos chova aren't a mitzvah. What do you mean? The answer is, when we say they're not a mitzvah, we're not saying they should be counted amongst the tariyak mitzvahs. We're not even saying they're optional. Just like we're saying that, you could have a tefillah chova, but even though the tefillah is a chova, be'etzem, the tefillah has to be rachameh. It can't be a keva. It can't be seen as a chova. Our attitude towards tefillah has to be, this is our chance to show our ratzon, our cheshek, our taiva. The same thing with karbanos, even karbanos chova. Our attitude towards them has to be that it's not, this is an opportunity to show our cheshek, our ratzon. It's like we said before, a birthday present. So it's true that birthday presents are chova. But you can't look at them as a chova. If you do, so then you've missed the point as well. Sometimes I'm not so good at that message. I have to admit, this is tochacha for me, not just for you. If my wife hears this, especially, I hope she'll appreciate that. So the point, the yesod hadvarim, is that. What is a karban, right? It's not a mitzvah. That's what Yirmiyahu says. Karbanos are not a mitzvah. Lo tzivisim. They're meant to be this expression. And this, then the Reb Tzadok says, v'ayin b'mon v'uchem tam ha-karbanos. He says, that's exactly what the Rambam says in the Tam of Karbanos, right? If you take a look in source 17, maybe we'll read the whole thing in a minute to better appreciate it, but just skip to where it's bolded, right? He quotes our pasuk. Yirmiyahu declared, for I spake not unto your... fathers not commanded them on the day that I brought them out of Egypt concerning Olav Zavach, the pasuk we just read, but this is what I told them. And he quotes our pasuk and he explains, skip to where it's next bolded and underlined, right? You, however, have ignored this object and taken hold of that which is the means of obtaining it. Meaning to say, the purpose of karbanos is not for the karban. It's not for the karban. If the purpose was the karban, if Hashem was hungry and thirsty, so then the purpose of karbanos would be to give him food and drink. No, karbanos are a means to an end. What's the end? To connect him, to have a relationship with him. That's what the pasuk says. Karbanos are means to getting there. And that's what the Rambam says. That's the purpose of karbanos. That's the purpose of karbanos. Now, one second, is that really what the Rambam says? So everybody knows this Rambam, right? The Rambam says that karbanos are meant because the Jewish people, when they left Egypt, were inclined towards idolatry. They were steeped in idolatry. To go ahead and to tell them not to bring karbanos would have been excessive. So instead, he tells them to bring karbanos. And that way that hankering after idolatry could sort of be redirected in a positive way towards God. So that's what the Rambam seems to say. And that's very problematic. As the Ramban in source 18 points out, Ya'asu shulchan Hashem megu'al, she'enenu rak lahotzi meliban shel resham v'tipshei olam, v'akasav amar, ki heim lechem yishel l'reach michalach. How could you just make Shulchan Hashem Megu'al just to be lafuke the Ovdei Avodah Zarah? Ma pitom? It's Ishe Reach Nichoach, right? And the Ramban continues to ask. He says, you know, if it was just lafuke Avodah Zarah, so why does Noach bring karbanos after? There was no Avodah Zarah in the world after the Mabul, yet he brings a karban. Cain and Havel. There was no Avodah Zarah there. They brought karbanos. All right, maybe Cain's Hevel wasn't great, but Hevel's Hevel, Hevel's karban was accepted. But why? There was no Avodah Zarah in the world. According to Chazal, Adam and Chava brought karbanos. You can't say that the purpose of those karbanos is lafuke Avodah Zarah. So how could the Rambam say that? And we might add, of course, according to the Rambam, why do we daven for the restoration of Avodah? V'hashev es Avodah l'dvir beisecha. The Rambam writes in Chasam Malachim, one of the things that we long for with the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash is the restoration of karbanos. So why is that something that we're interested in? So the answer is that is not exactly what the Rambam writes. And that's what Reb Tzadok is saying over here. Right, so let's take a look back to Reb Tzadok. V'nodema shekasav maram al shakar, dechein hu b'medrash, dekasav mashal v'chulei, ayin sham. So first of all, the Reb Tzadok points out that we should think that this idea that the Rambam has over here about korbanos is not actually the Rambam's chiddush. It's not this thing that he made up because of his infatuation with philosophy or something like that. Chazal make the very same point. The truth is, if you look at the Rambam, as far as I know, gives four different approaches to the purpose of karbanos. In one place, he says it's a chok. And so obviously it's complex. There's much more to it. But this particular paragraph is the most difficult one. And we'll see, though, that we have to, what he's saying is exactly what Tzadok says. So just take a look if you're interested. The Marmal Shakar I put over here. It's source 19. And he quotes this medrash, which is source 20, that makes this point, right? Rabbi Pinchas ben Levi, Omer Mashal ben Melech, Shagas Libo Alav, Vahayalamid Lechol Basa Nevelos Atrefos, Amar Melech, Yea, Tadir Al Shulchani, Umeatzma, Hunoder, Hunador, Kachel Fishayu Yisrael, Luhutim, Achar Vodis Kochavim, Mitzrayim, Vayumavim, Karbanehim, etc. Right? So the idea of the Rambam is not the Chazal say it. Okay, we still have to understand it, but we should appreciate it's not just the Rambam. So what is the Rambam saying? So Let's actually look at the Rambam. And then we'll see how Reb Tzadok explains it. So again, the Rambam is source number, the one in English, 17. It was in accordance with the wisdom and plan of God, as displayed in all creation, that he did not command us to give up and to discontinue all these manners of service. For to obey such a commandment would have been contrary to the nature of man, who generally cleaves to that which is used. In other words, we can't go mina katze la katze in a short period of time. The Jewish people leaving Egypt, who were steeped in idolatry, it would have been too extreme for them to go and give up on korbanos entirely. It would have been in those days, have made the same impression as a prophet would make a present if he called us to the service of God and told us in his name that we should not pray to him, not fast, not seek help in time of trouble, that we should serve him in thought and not by any action. So imagine a Navi nowadays came and said, you know what? No more tefillah, no more tainis. We should just think about God. All we'll do, no mitzvos even, just contemplate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sit and meditate all day. So that would be impossible. In other words, even though, in a sense, that would be a higher method of Avodas Hashem, maybe that's what Olam Haba is like, I don't know, Tzadikim Yoshem, Batrosem, Yoshem, Venanim, Ziv HaShchina, but it's not possible for us. Such a transition from what we're used to that would have been impossible. And that's not a bad thing. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us. Like he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us that we're physical bodies, that we need to involve our bodies in Avodas Hashem. We need to connect to him through tefillah and tainis and the like. So to go ahead and say that all you should do is serve God in contemplation would be unreasonable, impossible. And the same thing was true at that time. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told them, no more korbanos. In other words, let's try to understand this. The Rambam here is suggesting that there is actually somewhat of a hierarchy in terms of Avodas Hashem. And as we'll see in a moment, in a way, tefillah is above korbanos. But as we saw before and in the Rambam, tefillah and korbanos are really about the same thing. Like we said, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's read on. For this reason, God allowed these kinds of service to continue. He transferred to a service that which they formerly served as a worship of created beings and of things imaginary and unreal, and commanded us to serve him in the same manner. As a sacrificial service is not the primary object, right? Like we said, it's a means to an end. While supplication, prayer, and similar kind of worship are nearer to the primary object. In other words, the primary object is connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And korbanos are one way to get there. Tefillah is an even better way to get there. Though even that is, even tefillah, like we said, is in a sense a means to an end. But tefillah is a little different. Tefillah is indispensable for obtaining it. A great difference is made between, in the law, between these two kinds of avoda. In other words, now the Rambam is going to say that this would explain why there's a difference between avoda and tefillah. Basically, avodas hamikdash is very limited. It can only be brought at a certain place. There are a lot of limitations. Tefillah is something that we have to do always. Why? Because it is indispensable for achieving closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not commanded to sacrifice in every place, in every time, or to build a temple in every place, or to permit anyone who desires to become a Kohen and to sacrifice. On the contrary, all this is prohibited unto us. Prayer, supplication can be offered everywhere by every person. And now he explains something else. He says, that's the pshat, why you find in the Nevi'im, the prophets basically yelling at us for focus on korbanos. Right? We don't find that for other mitzvos. Why? Because of this principle, which I've explained to you, the prophets in their books are frequently found to rebuke their fellow man for being overzealous and exerting themselves too much in bringing korbanos. The prophets thus distinctly declared that the object of the sacrifices is not very essential, and God does not require them. Shmuel therefore said, "Hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Isaiah exclaimed, "What is the purpose of the multitude of your sacrifice unto me?" said the Lord. Yirmiyahu said, and the pasuk we quoted earlier, right? In other words, we have to realize that korbanos are a means to an end, and therefore they're not that valuable in their own right. In fact, if they're not a means to an end, they're basically worthless. And that's what the pasuk, that's how he explains the pasuk, that I didn't command you to bring korbanos. That's not the purpose. What is the purpose? Haskel v'yadoa osi, like he says. Oh. So now, does this answer the questions of the Ramban? So, at least partially it does, in the sense that the following. The Ramban is not saying that the purpose of korbanos is to lafuke avodah zarah. What the Rambam is saying is that given where we were when we left Egypt, so we needed korbanos in avodas Hashem. We needed, because to tell us to stop would have been too extreme. But still, the purpose of korbanos is to show our love and our cheshek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he says. It's a means to an end. Again, Klal Yisrael messed up. They didn't, instead of treating it as a means to an end, they treated it as an end of itself. And that's what Yirmiyahu is railing against them and saying, no, I didn't command you to do this. But the goal of korbanos, the purpose of korbanos, is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that like the Ramban asks, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Rambam is Yasu Shulchan Hashem Meguel, She'enenu Rak Lahotzi Meliban Shel Rishayim. No, it's not that. The purpose of korbanos, even according to the Rambam, is, like the word says, karav, korban, to be miskarev el Hashem. That's the purpose. That's our goal. It's a chance for us to express our love and to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is true that the Rambam says that might be not the highest form of avodas Hashem and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we still haven't addressed that question. But the Rambam himself is certainly not saying that that's the whole goal of korbanos, lafuke the avodah zarah. No, the goal of korbanos is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What the Rambam does say elsewhere is that there are certain pratim in korbanos that were done lafuke the Ovdei Elilim. So he says over there that the choice of using cows and sheep and goats for korbanos, now there's a reason for that particular selection of species. One reason is because these were the animals that were deified in those days. But there he's not saying the purpose of korbanos is just to lahotzi miliban shel rishayim v'tipshei ha'olam. He's saying that's the reason for the particular selection of species. And that too, by the way, is also in Chazal. The Rambam is not making it up. So the purpose of korbanos is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Rambam says. Well, so let's continue reading in Reb Tzadok, and then we'll try to get back to the final question. So again, Reb Tzadok is 21. So what does he say? Ayin sham, dinin are korbanos, hu shemekabel atikrovis nana mimenu, b'chalavo dezara, oso koach nana mizgaber al yidei oso korban. Kimo adam al yidei maichol, right? So the way the Ovdei Avodah Zarah looked at korbanos is that they gave koach to that deity through bringing the karban, just like we get koach when we eat food. So because that's the way they served Avodah Zarah, they thought, they had this desire, that we could also be Mahana Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed that. He gave them the chance to be able to, as it were, be Mahanahim. So when it comes to a person, if I give a person a karban, I give them a gift, so they take a gadhana. Aval Hashem Yisbarach ain't sarach lakach, so he doesn't need it. The lo tomar es ritzono v'chulei. So therefore, we shouldn't say I'm bringing karbanos so that I give him ana. Ke bechol mitzvos rak lertzonchem. Kefi ratzon v'cheshek shalachem. Kachu akarban. That is what a karban is. The ratzon v'cheshek to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rak demizeh hu hana. And that is what gives the hana to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu get hana from the karbanos? The answer is yes, as it were. Not because he enjoys the food, but because he sees us trying to give him that gift, to express our love. V'chein ha-tfilah b'makom ha-karbanos. She'ein ratzon Hashem Yisbaruch mebnei Adam shispalu lefanav v'yishanuhu. The idea of tefillah is not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to try to change his mind. Rak ha-ratzon shalahem l'spalo. We should have, we must have a desire to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ratzon. Zeh ratzon yisbarach v'havin zeh. So that's the yesod of karbanos. So first of all, you know, this is, I think, something that I think two lessons. Number one is that this is a mafteach gadol to avodas ha-tefillah. It helps us appreciate why al tasa tefillas chakeva al rachamei v'tachanunei, that we have to appreciate the purpose of tefillah is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to make sure our avodas ha-tefillah is doing that. And B, it I think will help us appreciate why we're longing for the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, what we're missing without it. Because the Mikdash was a place in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bechira, Cheshek, Ratzon, Taiva for us was expressed. That's what it was. It's the Beis HaBechira. It's the bias in which he expresses his Bechira for us. Ivalamo Shavlo. It's a place where he expresses his taiva. That's where we could feel it. That's where we could see it. And likewise, it was a place where we could express our ratzon, our taiva, our cheshek for him through, as it were, giving him a gift. And that thereby give him ana. That's something that we're missing. That's something that's so hard for us. It's hard for us to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to sense his Bechira Banu, to sense his Ava and Cheshek and Taiva for us. And it's hard for us to express that to him. So much of what we're longing for is that opportunity. Oh, but still, what about what the Rambam says? That this is not the most ideal way of doing it. Why are we longing for that? What's so exciting about that? So I don't know that the Rambam explicitly answers that question. He certainly emphasizes again and again that karbanos will be restored. And in fact, that notion is part of the Ikar Emunah, Zosah Torah Lo Teyeh Mukhlefes. But why? So I don't know that the Rambam explains. But perhaps one way to look at it in light of the Rambam would be that the original purpose of Karbanos, as we understood them, was one thing. And Lasad Lavo, a new aspect, will be revealed that wasn't relevant those days. Take a look at source number 23, the Shla, source number 24, the Gra. They both say the same idea. The Navi refers to a bris chadasha. If you take a look, source 22, Hinei ha'amim ba'im nu Hashem, v'charati es beis Yisrael v'es beis Yehuda, bris chadasha. So what is this bris chadasha, the new covenant? If you look at the Rishonim on this psukim, they offer various explanations what it means. One thing that they're very careful about is lahotzi from the Christian interpretation of the new covenant. But what does it really mean for us? So the Shla explains that it means not that the mitzvos will be replaced, chas v'shalom, but there'll be a new dimension, a new understanding of these mitzvos that didn't exist before. Meaning to say, all mitzvos be'etzem reflect the infinite wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We relate to them in one way in our current form of existence, and when we are on a more elevated plane, they'll take on new meaning and have a different understanding. It's going to be the same mitzvah, but it's going to be a totally different experience. And whatever karbanos were when they were first instructed, if indeed at that point it was a lower form of service because we were lahut achar vodazara, and it would have been too much of a transition to go entirely to, let's say, tefillah. But they'll have a different meaning when that won't be relevant to us. Let's take a quick look. Aval od yesh od, this is 23, the Shla, yesh od pnimius ledavar zeh. Kinoda, kemoshen hisgashen ha'adam, ken hisgashma Torah. So there is hisgashmus to the Torah. Ki'ilu haya ha'adam nishar b'ksonas, b'kisnos or b'gan Eden, ha'isa Torah muvenes b'inyan yoseh ruchani. The Torah would have been understood in one way had we not sinned originally. In other words, Torah was kadma l'b'riyas ha'olam. So let's say Adam hadn't been chote, so then the mitzvahs of the Torah would have taken on a different meaning. K'mo shekasav ha'pardes b'shar neshama, ki'eich shayach losach shor b'uvachamor, v'chitzach harisha b'gan Eden. There was no need for Harisha in Gan Eden. The need for Harisha was because it says, "Bezeh sapecha tocha lachan, kotz v'dardar tatzmiach." So, the Gan Eden, there was no need for Harisha. So, what would the lav of Loisachrosh have meant? It would have had a different meaning. And when we were chote, and we became, there was his gashmus, and we were lowered, so it took on the meaning that it has today. And La'asid Lavo, there's going to be a bris chadasha, which means that the mitzvos will exist and always exist, but take on a new meaning and a new understanding based off of our new madrega. Like the Gra says, 24, La'asid yizgala sod shebisocho, v'zeu ha'torah chadasha shizgala la'asid. That's the Torah chadasha. Torah chadasha doesn't mean a replacement of the old Torah, the Gra says, but it means a new perspective on the old mitzvos, a deeper and more meaningful understanding. So it may be true that we can't really relate to Avodas HaKarbanos. That's because the new Torah Chadash has not been Nisgala. But certainly the idea that we to Kodesh Baruch Hu is one that we can relate to, and it's something that's so hard for us now. And when we look forward to and yearn for the Hashagas Avoda L'Dvar Beisacha, we're davening that that opportunity to connect our Kodesh Baruch will be returned. B'mehera v'yameinu, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Good Shabbos.
Thank you. Good Shabbos.
Really? Yeah.
Thank you. Doesn't this idea not really fit with the Rambam that Amen, Omazel,
No, not at all. Meaning to say, the Rambam writes that nature isn't going to change, right? But the Rambam also writes, he quotes the Pasuk, right? That it's going to be a time of universal recognition of God. The whole world will know God. And it's going to be a time where all of us will be able to spend almost our entire days serving God, because there's going to be peace and prosperity and the like. Then even without changing the nature of the world, we'll be able to dedicate ourselves to the service of God. And in so doing, yes, we'll have a new Havana. In other words, that's what the Rambam says is the whole purpose of Yemos HaMashiach, that will all of the possibility of achieving Yedias Hashem in a way that we're unable to now, not because nature has changed, but because the things that distract us currently from being Oved Hashem in that way will be removed. So, no. The answer is this is not at all against the Rambam. This doesn't have to be supernatural, right? What does it mean, Umala Haaretz Deas Hashem Kiyam Kimayim Liyam Chasim? It means that the whole world will have Yedias Hashem in a way that now they don't, right? And the same thing for mitzvos. In other words, our Havana, and again, the Rambam didn't say that. I'm not saying that the Rambam would agree, but I don't think it's against the Rambam either. That we're going to have new insights and understandings in Torah that we don't have now and that we've never had. And that's the purpose of Yemos HaMashiach, according to the Rambam. That's the whole goal. That's what he says. Why Lonis Avul Chachamim, the Nevi'im, Yemos HaMashiach, why they want it so much? Not because they want to be dominant, not because they want to be rich. Right? Because what? They wanted a chance to finally like sit and learn. And what will be the result of that sitting and learning? It'll be a connection to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yedias Hashem that's never been possible in all of the history of the world. And so, of course, that will lead to new Havanas, new insights, new understandings of Torah. So when the Rambam says El Shibud Malchus Bolad, it means that the lack of Shibud Malchus will allow for the setup of that position. Why is it right now that we can't just spend our whole day sitting and learning? Well, among other things, Shibud Malchus and all these other tzaras that we have to deal with. So that's I think, what the Rambam means.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Have a good Shabbos.